There are only so many portions of Scripture we can read that pertain to what we're doing here, the Lord's table. Certainly a lot of types and pictures in the Old Testament concerning the Passover. But what we're about here is not the Passover. Christ is the Passover. He's fulfilled that Passover. But this is an ordinance that he instituted. And I believe that word is important, an ordinance. An ordinance is a rule that the Lord gives. Some call it a sacrament. A sacrament has the idea that there's somehow some sort of sacredness to the elements. And even though we don't want to treat these elements lightly, yet I have to say that this bread that we hold in our hand is just that bread. It's unleavened bread. You could take this and put it to your lips, it will not give life. It does not give grace. It's been an argument down through church history that somehow Christ is actually in the bread. And that's why they don't want to just give it out to people. That's why you see a priest standing up in front. People actually come down and he puts it on their tongue to make sure it doesn't fall on the ground. Because they think that somehow that means that Christ has fallen on the ground. Can you imagine if that were such a savior? That's an idol. Same with his blood. It's interesting that the priests don't even give this out. They consider this to be too sacred for anybody just to drink. What they do is drink themselves. And I have to say that there have been many a drunk priest. As a result, they love to drink it all. But that is to blasphemously turn these elements into something that our Lord never intended. These are pictures. It's like if I went to your house and looked around on your wall, you'd see pictures. I get people doing that when they come into my study. They say, well, who's this? And there's pictures. They represent people. These are pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ. This bread that we hold is a picture of his body. And it's unleavened. I know some say, it doesn't matter what you use. Go down to the grocery store and just get a loaf of bread. No. It should be unleavened bread because he was without sin and baked in fire. You can see the markings of the fire on this bread. It's a representation of what our Lord Jesus Christ endured in suffering for the sin of sinners such as we are. But you know, he could have had the most perfect body, and he did. He the perfect man, and yet it's the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his perfect righteousness and his obedience unto death that we celebrate. So therefore the cup. And it's not grape juice, it's wine. Because wine in Scripture represents that which heals. But it represents his blood. By his stripes we are healed. And so, a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, put in man's hands, man's going to corrupt it. And that's why you see so many versions, so many views, so many interpretations of what is the Lord's table. But when we come back to Scripture, we find it to be very simple. And that's how I love to have it. We're not here to dictate who takes and who doesn't. Scriptures simply say here, and of course the Corinthians, the early church, they had to be straightened out. There were divisions. They had rich and poor. Typically the slaves, the servants, they were at home cleaning up the dishes, while the rest were bringing that, they brought the food that their servants had made for them, and they were all eating and drinking it together as a congregation. And then somewhere in there having the Lord's table. And that's where Paul said here, when you come together in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 11, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. So they use real wine. They don't get drunk on grape juice. Last I checked. What have ye not houses to eat and drink in? They can go to extreme. We typically have a common meal, we carry it in afterward, and it's a good time to sit down together. We like to do that around the Lord's table, but here we are today. I think most of us are still full from Thanksgiving, unless you didn't have enough food. If you didn't, check with me. We got plenty of leftovers. But it's not required to have the common meal with the Lord's table. We're going to celebrate this, and then we're going to go our way. Now, there's some that have made it a rule. They call it the agape feast. And so they like to have the Lord's table around it and show how everybody loves one another. There's more griping that goes on talking about the other and gossiping than agape feasts. They love to sit there next to so-and-so. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? That it's anything but talking of Christ. So it's better not to. That's what Paul's saying here. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God? Again, the church is not a building. It's the people that meet there. But people will make the building to be a sacred place. I can remember a congregation, I was youth director at the time, but when I suggested a common meal, and it was going to be downstairs, that everybody was aghast because that meant the smoke, the smell of the food would be coming up into the auditorium and the church building. That was for worship. That wasn't for eating. You'd have thought that you'd suggested killing somebody, which they did. They wanted to kill me. But, despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? See, one thing about the Lord's table is that we all come on the same basis. There's no rich or poor. That if we come, it's because we come in the righteousness of Christ, which gives us all the same footing. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. So we've got here. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. It's broken. Although no bone of Christ was broken, it represents his suffering. And he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. Now, what's the key part of all that? This do in remembrance of me. So when we partake in this bread and eat it, our thoughts should be on the Lord Jesus Christ, not on our neighbor, not on anything else but him. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Testament means a will. It's a will and testament. Beneficiaries are named in your will and testament. When you die, that dictates to the court then who is to receive those goods. Well, when Christ died, there were beneficiaries. It's not each one determining what they'll receive, but this was purpose of God the Father. It's like we saw in the message. The Father took the bride for the Son. The Father has chosen a people for his Son, and they are the ones for whom he came and paid the debt out of every tribe, nation, and tongue. This do ye as oft as ye drink it. See, a lot of people like to legalize that. Well, we need to do it, you know, every time we get together. The Lord said, as oft as ye do it. We've done it customarily at the end of every month, but nothing says we couldn't do it once a quarter, once a year, or every week. It's as oft as ye do it, but when you do it, he says there, as oft as you do it and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. That word show means to preach. Now, I've just preached the gospel to you, but here I'm preaching again with these elements. You sitting there and eating and drinking this, you are proclaiming what? His death till he come again. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, there again is where men stumble. They want to do the examine. They want to sit down and say, oh, let me check and see if Bob's worthy. Let me check on Karen. Let me check on Robert, Mary. No. Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, it says there, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. To drink and eat it unworthy is to think yourself worthy. Better than another, the fact that you're partaking, that's unworthy. Because your eyes are on yourself or comparing yourself with another and not on the Lord. And here it is, let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, again, thinking themselves worthy, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So let's thank the Lord and then we'll partake. Gracious Father, I thank you for the simplicity of this table, the elements, because it represents the simplicity of the gospel of your dear Son. How it is that he came to save sinners such as we are, and that it was through his perfect obedience represented in the bread and his blood shed unto death that sinners such as we are stand justified before you. So as we partake, may our eyes be on Christ alone and be with thankfulness for such a great work of salvation and for so great grace. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in our dear Savior's name.